enabled me to walk in that hope all the days of my life. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was something which Elisha did when he had to start afresh. When Elijah disappeared and the mantle fell on him, if you remember, when he crossed Jordan, they took Elijah's old mantle and he struck Jordan and said, "If the God of Elijah is with me, if that anointing is upon me, let it start working." It's something which God taught me always whenever I have gone to places and started new. Like even when this time when I came, and today when we were, you know, new church, new beginning, not new church, old church, new beginning, I said, "Lord, there's one thing I'm going to do, which you always taught me to do in Assam, in Bhutan. I will not call anybody. If you are the God of Elijah and Elisha, they will call, they will come. I will not call anybody. I have never called anybody in Bhutan or Assam, because I need to believe you are the God who sent people, the animals, to Noah. Noah's job was to build the ark. God's job was to send the animals. Noah was wondering, how will I gather? God said, they will be sent to you. There are different ways in which God was. I'm not an evangelist. Evangelists go out and get people. I'm not an evangelist. Yesterday also, sitting with an evangelist, and I'm telling, I just can't do evangelism. I would fail terribly if I do that, because that's not the office which God has called me to. And each one of us function in an office which God has given. We don't try to switch offices. God has given you an office. You function within an office. So today, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. If you need Bibles, tell me. There are lots in this house. Yeah, anybody needs a Bible? Here, simpler version. Here. Yes. That's good news. Mm-hmm. Chapter 17 and verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. The Lamb will always overcome. The reason the Lamb will overcome, Jesus will overcome, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Okay, but with him there is a set of people. There is a set of people. And those set of people who will be with him have to go through a process. They are called, step one. They are chosen, stage two. Final stage, they are faithful. It's not enough that we are called. It's not enough that we are chosen. We also need to be faithful. And once we are called and chosen and proven that we are faithful, we will become a set of people who will always accompany the Lamb throughout eternity. Many are called, few are chosen. Few are chosen, but even few are found faithful. If you read the account of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, about Moses, it is written, he was found faithful in the house of God. The others were not found. They were called. Okay. Many were chosen. But Moses was found faithful. Okay. And you need to realize that is the process even in the new covenant. If you turn with me to John chapter 8. Because we use terms which have become so common now. Jesus is talking verse 31 to the Jews who had believed in him. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? And keep your hand over there, and if you come to the book of Acts, if you come to Acts chapter 11, word reads from verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now we call everybody Christians. Anybody who's got a name Christian, we call everybody Christians. But if you look at 8:31 John, to the Jews who believed in him. Okay, they already believed in him. The first stage is that you and I become believers. To those who believed in him, Jesus said, if you truly hold on to my teaching, you will become my disciples. From believers to disciples. The process is discipleship. To believers to becoming disciples. But there in Antioch, those who believed and were disciples, Barnabas realized, I can't handle it. I have reached my limit. He went and got Saul. Then Barnabas and Saul met there for a year and taught the disciples, and disciples became Christians. They had the right or approved of God to take the name Christians. You know why? The same process Revelation is talking about. Called, chosen, faithful. God is saying that if you and I call ourselves a Christian, you are saying that I am faithful. And you will accompany me all through eternity. No? Called, chosen, and faithful. And you need to realize that our call is to be faithful. And see that we... See, it's not God wants to deny us anything. God is a God who doesn't want to deny. He wants to lift us up higher and higher. But he cannot lift us up unless he tests us. He tests us. And we don't realize the tests are not in the big things. The tests are in the small things. And Jesus said, those who are faithful in small things. Good, easy to be faithful in big things, because we know it's big and we know I need to be faithful. Okay, but to be faithful in small things is what is very difficult. It's very difficult. Yes. And I know everyone sitting here is sitting here because you all believe. I do not know. Maybe some of you are believers, some of you are disciples, or maybe all of you are faithful. I do not know. That's something between God and us alone. We do not know. But we need to realize that we've been called to be faithful in the small things, in the little things. And why it is important is because it will determine your eternity. It will determine your eternity. We are building a church. We are building a set of people. The job of every man, woman of God who is in the ministry is to build up a set of people who will accompany the Lamb. I cannot stand from the pulpit and say, it's okay, even if you don't accompany the Lamb, it's fine as long as you reach heaven and stay around in the fringes. No, you wouldn't do that with our children. Now Sanju is there, Sanju is passed, she's got a first class, and we are happy. Our first kid among the young generation, the first one to do her class 10th, and she's passed with first division. But what if the parents say, it's okay, even if you pass, it's fine for me, it doesn't matter. No, it wouldn't work. Like we have people who college principals and teach in colleges. We know we want our students to do well. Jackie is here, two sisters are here who teach. We do want our students to. It's no teacher, I think, who, unless he's got a personal axe to grind with some student, who wants somebody to fail. When God is saying these things, you need to realize, okay, He's not putting commandments and rules. He's saying that, I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to fail. I will put you through the same test I put my son through. I did not approve him until I found him faithful. Okay. So the first statement of the Father about the Son, before the Son steps into ministry, is, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. He hasn't started his ministry at all. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay. So Jesus had to go through the same grading, the same test, maybe tougher test than each one of us. And it is a test in little things. And I believe he had a real tough time. Not the way TV preachers preach today. It is not true. Because it's very clear, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, that when Mary and Joseph go to make their offering after Jesus is born, they don't offer a lamb. They offer two doves, two pigeons, that was kept only for the very poor who couldn't even buy a lamb. No. There's some preacher who was preaching recently that Joseph and Mary were very rich because they had gold and silver and all which the kings had given. But that was provision because God had told them to go to Egypt and to take care of them that, okay? And yet, when Jesus begins his ministry, what is told about him, isn't he the carpenter, the son of Joseph and Mary? How many of you believe that a carpenter today, 2,000 years later, is rich? Now, do you really believe a carpenter 2,000 years ago was rich? Okay. There's no record about Jesus' father in the Bible after the age of 12. So, history presumes he died early. Scripture talks about Jesus having brothers and sisters, at least altogether, at least 6 or 7. So, being the eldest, he was taking care of a family. With a mother, with younger brothers and sisters, assuming the role of the father, the bed provider, okay, of that house, and living with the people who are under law and not grace. See, under grace, we have power to overcome sin. We can be good people, better people than the people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was no grace released to overcome sin the way we have today. So he grew up in a system, in a situation, in a home where he was tested every day. And scripture says he was tempted at all points and yet did not sin. He did not sin. Okay? Now God is saying, he is the firstborn among many. Firstborn among many. He is the firstborn. And all of us who receive Jesus in our spirit are born from above as younger brothers and sisters of Jesus. And he says, this is the road. This is the road. This is the road. But I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, this process of testing will continue all our life. This testing is not because God is the tyrant sitting over there and finds fun like seeing his people being miserable. No. This is a loving father who wants to raise his children up and gather a set of people who will be faithful to the Lamb. who will be overcomers. 10 times in the book of Revelation it talks about overcomers. And each time the overcomers have to overcome the test. What you're going to face tomorrow is a test. What Shashi is going to face tomorrow is a test. What Ekta is going to face when she goes home is a test. But you need to realize God will not allow you or me to go through a test without providing the grace to overcome. Because that exactly is His word. He will never, so people, I can't handle it. That's against scripture. It's against scripture because God says He will never allow us to go through any situation which His grace will not enable us to overcome it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair. Like a teacher giving an exam paper and all the questions are out of portion he or she never taught. And then kids cry foul saying, out of syllabus. Our Father in heaven never sets an exam paper which is out of syllabus. He says, my grace is more than sufficient. What he's saying is that I want to show the enemy. And I want to show all those saints sitting there in heaven, including Adam, that you can overcome them. I want to show them I am raising up a generation of overcomers. Overcoming what? Not each other, but overcoming sin. And sin in the Bible, for us believers, not for the people in the world, is not the Ten Commandments, it's not what we think, it's Romans 14:23. Everything that is not of faith is sin. Everything that is not of faith is sin. Okay? Everything that is not. That is the simple reason we study the word, we meet through the week, the apostles gathered every day of the week, taught the church the word of God. Why? So that faith would arise. Faith to the right. Why? So that you could walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, you overcome. You overcome sin. And when you overcome, you become a part of that faithful. Okay? To be called is very simple. Jesus said, unless the Father draws, nobody can come to me. We are all here because the Father and the Spirit of God drew us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have accepted. How could Ekta accept the Lord? We at least grew up in Christian families. But people like Ekta, Anisha, you know, all those who have come from absolutely non-Christian families, they wouldn't have accepted the Lord. But the Spirit of God has to draw us. We are called. We are called. And then from the time of calling, initially, the initial years, the testimonies will be like Ekta said, Lord, I say yes. You know why? Because that's the way I deal with my younger one. Small child, here. I'll help you out. I'll help you. But as you start growing, he will also start withdrawing a little and says, now you have to overcome your test by faith. Otherwise, you'll never grow up. You will never grow up. And you will not become an overcomer. In our, as we come to the Lord, our initial stages of our growth, God, he will help us out even in the tiniest situation. But as we keep growing, God will start allowing tests to become tougher and tougher, and will tell, stand on your feet on my word and overcome. You can overcome. Because it's written in the book of Hebrews, the book of Revelation, they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That is how there is a testimony. There is a testimony when we stand on the word of God and we see our victory. We step outside the word of God, we see defeat. But God says, you stand on my word, you will see the victory. And that's how God brings. That's how God. But you need to realize today, I want to talk to you about is that to be faithful to God, to be part of that faithful band, we need to get one thing right, always right, straight in the beginning. Your and my, as individuals, as a church, our first priority is always God. God and not man. Is always God. It's always God. It's not man. It's always God. But people sometimes get hurt when we have to take tough decisions when we put God first. Yeah. I know I've hurt quite a few people the past few weeks. Yeah. But the thing is that I love people, but my loyalty is to my God. At the end of the day, I need to ask, am I serving people or am I serving God? If I serve people, I need to serve God first. If these both don't go hand in hand, because the church and the history of the Bible is when people at the top decided, I will serve people and stop serving God. sons of Zadok, when God talks about priesthood, he says, first you shall come to me and minister to me. After only you have ministered to me, you can go and minister to the people. But if we are not able to minister to God, then everything that we do becomes irrelevant. Everything that we do, doesn't matter how successful it is, it's irrelevant in the sight of God. Lot was a very successful man until fire came down. When the angels of God found Lot, he was a city elder in Sodom. For an alien to come to an alien city and to reach that position is extremely successful. But when he came out, there was nothing. But during that period of his prosperity and success, people did not see that. So today there is no legacy. He has not left anything. Have you heard about any nations called Moab and Ammon? Yet there was a man, his uncle, who stood there and refused to make a choice until God told him, lift up your head and look, east, west, north, south, then choose. And he chose. That man has left a legacy which is still there in the Middle East, the name of his son Israel. And about him, it is written, Abraham was faithful. Abraham was faithful. God is talking us, will you be faithful even in the little things in which you do things? In the which we do things. Every day, personal life, every day. Okay, every day faithful in our personal life. Every day faithful in our professional life. He's not telling you to be perfect. Only He can make us perfect. But He says, will you be faithful to what you know? You have received this much word, brother. Will you be faithful to that? You have received this much word, brother. Will you be faithful to that? You have received this much. Will you be faithful to that? And I believe when He is faithful to this, this will increase. Okay. And to whom much is granted, much is given, much is required. God told about the children of Israel, 10 times you disobeyed me, 10 times I forgave. One time Moses disobeyed, God told him, you will not enter into the promised land. He told the children of Israel, you will also not enter. The punishment was the same. Quantum of mistake was different. Here 10, here 1. Why? To him much was granted. To them, little was granted, because they only sought little. He sought much, gave much. But because he was so faithful, when you are faithful in God's house, even when you make one mistake, God says, I will not forget your service for me. The service of faithfulness of my service. Only thing, Moses had to wait 1500 years to enter the promised land. But when he entered the promised land, he did not enter like Joshua and all. He entered with a bang. He entered on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory along with Jesus.
Oh, wow.
That's how he entered. Most people do not realize he entered the promised land, but he had to wait 1500 years. Okay, that's how he entered. Because God will never forget your faithfulness. You've been faithful in God's kingdom. You've been faithful in God's house. He will not forget it. Maybe a period of time will elapse where he keeps on testing it. Okay? But he will not forget that. He says he will not forget. Because he's a God who puts so much premium on faithfulness. Because in Timothy he says, even when you are unfaithful, I am still faithful because I cannot deny myself. You know, understand what it means? It means he's a God of faithfulness. He says, that's my nature. I'm a faithful God. When I say something, I do it. When I say something, I mean it. I mean it. I am a faithful God. So I will not deny myself. And I'm looking for people who will be faithful. And here, God will keep on testing us. God will keep on testing us to see whether we will be faithful. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. Where the letters Paul writes to Timothy are beautiful letters, because it is like from a father to a son or from a teacher to a student, telling, look, this is the way from discipleship, calling, to chosen, to being faithful. Okay, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. There he says, all of us sitting here are soldiers.
And we got a commanding officer. His name is Jesus Christ. Now we are in Mehdipanna. When you go to that junction, on the other side is a cantonment brigade. You have the army area. And when you go back, you will have to go through the cantonment. But if you look at the soldiers there, they do a whole lot of stuff which we also do. They have IT there, they have schools, they have colleges, they have sports, they have all kinds of functions exactly the way you do in your workplaces. They have doctors, they have everything. Everything you talk about, they have that. Yet, they don't function the way we function. They don't function the way we function. They know they are an army. They serve to please their commanding officer. For them, their regiment and their commanding officer is what is important. And they will do what the commanding officer tells them. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, you are a soldier. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked in the way you function. Don't get sidetracked in the way you do things, because you serve a commanding officer and you need to please him. You and I need to please him because we have been enlisted. We are not conscripts. We enlisted voluntarily into the army of God. Don't get entangled in the things of the world. You work in the world, but don't get entangled in it. You need to please your commanding officer. You need to please your commander. That's one of the first commandments he gives Timothy. Then you look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Now, what is the tense that is being used over there? It's saying, do yourself, right? Do your best. So there is, it's not like all God will do, I just have to lie down in vacuum and heave. It's not that. He says, you need to, there are a lot of stuff you need to do. Do your best to present yourself to God as what? As one approved by God. Are you approved by God? Okay. Are you approved by God? God says approved by God. As what? A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Okay. Now this is not just talking about pastors alone. It's talking about everybody. Okay. Whatever field you are working in, please try to be the best. Whatever area you are working in, okay, this is one problem with Christendom, with Christians. They are mediocre workers. I'm not talking about here, okay? You're all excellent. Okay, what I'm talking about, this general tendency is there for Christians to be mediocre workers, saying that grace will take care of the rest. No, grace will take care of the rest. That's not what God is talking about. God is talking about that you need to be excellent. Because we have grace, we got more reasons to be excellent. Because the difference between the world and us is they don't have grace. We have grace. Grace is the power of the Holy Spirit released into our lives for every situation you or I can face. That's available to us freely. We just need to go into God's throne room of grace by faith and receive it. And God says, that's the promise. I will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not below. And the work of your hand shall be blessed, whether you are in the country or in the city. No, that's the promise God gives in Deuteronomy 28. He said there are no limitations. You shall be the best. You can be the best. So it says, but do your best. Do your best. To present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Who does not need to, you don't have to be ashamed. Can you imagine being in a workplace and actually saying, I'm sorry, I do not know, I did not learn, I didn't do my homework. God says, that sounds ridiculous. To God it sounds ridiculous. You know why? Because scripture says, everyone sitting here who has accepted Jesus is God already the seed, that is the mind of Christ Jesus. Can you imagine Dr. Nina, Dr. Jesus walking in an operation theater and says, I don't know what to do. Can you imagine Jesus walking into an IT sector and saying, oh, we got a problem and we don't know how to solve it? But Jesus says, it's already there in you. The mind of Christ Jesus is there in you. The mind of Christ Jesus is there in you. He says, what are you doing with it? Are you working on it? Are you doing your best to see that the mind increases with the knowledge of
the word of God, and by faith and by grace increases. That's what it means by I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do. Why? Because you got the mind, you got the grace, you got the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all there. Okay. That is from where we say, I'm not afraid. I do not fear. Why? Because we look at what God has given us in the new covenant. And Paul is telling Timothy, the only way you will lose your efficiency in the area where you are working is when you take your eyes off the orders of your commanding officer and get involved in civilian affairs. A soldier does that, he is immediately court-martialed. I worked with the army church for 5 years as a chaplain, so I know what they do. They have got what is called quarter guards. When you hear the term quarter guards, you think it's very nice. It's not. It's their prison within the army camp. And I visited the quarter guard and talked to Christians who were put there. And the commanding officer in an army is more powerful than the judges sitting over here. If I am a CEO and I don't like you, I can send you for psychiatric evaluation and you end up in the hospital bed for 3 months. You can't even get out because the sentry who will not even allow you out. Just one less. Put him in psychiatric evaluation. Your career is ruined for life. You will never get your promotion once you've been sent for career evaluation. And he's just the rank of a colonel. He's a CEO. Or he doesn't like Danny. Okay, quarter guard. Put him under the quarter guard. When he comes to a court martial, he's the one who sits as judge. Tremendous power the army has. Okay, and here he's talking to Timothy in those terms. He's not saying our God is not like that. Okay, he's not going. He says, look, you got a fantastic future ahead of you. Tremendous future ahead of you. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked and miss it. I have called you. Now, between the calling and the choosing, there is this test that you have to pass. Then once you have chosen and God entrusts more responsibility onto you, there will be bigger test to see whether you will be faithful. Whether you will be faithful. Yeah, whether you will be faithful. And you will see that there were very few people in the Bible who were faithful. Very, very few people were faithful. There were not many people. There were many who were called, many who were chosen. But faithful? Very few. Paul says, in my first defense, everybody deserted me. And I was all alone. In 2 Timothy, he says. But he says, there was one who was faithful. The Lord himself stood by me and strengthened me. There is one who is faithful, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if you imagine a person like Paul, who literally has written, my life is poured out like a drink offering. His life was poured out for the church. Yet when he is arrested and he has to go to court, he is looking for a little moral support. It's nobody. In a Roman court, surrounded by Romans, he stands there all alone. All alone. You know why? Because there were many whom he ministered and preached and taught and mentored who were called and chosen. But at that time, in that city, there were nobody who was faithful. He stood there alone. But yet there is one who is faithful. He stood by him, and Paul says, strengthened me. And it's not enough that you are called. It is not enough that you are chosen. It's not enough. Our ultimate eternal destiny is much bigger than that. Okay? It's like God is talking about the royal companions. So when when that sister Kanduwangmo told me, I said, hey, I didn't see you at church last Sunday. I couldn't come. His Majesty called me for dinner, me alone. And I had to go. And I said, yeah, you need to go for His Majesty's dinner. Okay? You know what? Royal companion. Can you imagine ending up in eternity and you getting a call, Jesus saying, I called you for dinner? Not the wedding feast of the Lamb alone, but I called you for dinner after that. Royal companion. Do you know why? Because you are faithful. Because you are faithful. You have found faithful. What I'm saying, this is what Jesus is actually talking about. Eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard. But God is preparing for those who love Him. Those who love Him will be faithful. Faithful until the end. That's what God is talking about. Be faithful till the end. The call is of faithfulness. And I'm telling you, those of you who work in the secular field, it's not easy to be faithful. Because you face tremendous pressure. And if you are in the ministry, it's not still easy. It's still difficult. Because pressure is always there upon you. You know, orphanage. You think it's easy?
You think it's easy? It's not easy. Then you need to get a place. You need to get somebody who is faithful. Okay? It's not appointing somebody to take care of an orphanage. Because this is God's orphanage. It's not man's. There are lots of secular orphanages, government-run orphanages. You can appoint anybody over there. You can't appoint anybody in God's orphanage because you need a mother. You need to mother 7 children. It's not an easy thing. To serve God and be faithful is not easy if you know the standard He sets. The standards He sets. He said, I laid my life for you, you lay down your life for my brother. That's the standard. Standard He said, John 3:16, He says standard He said, I don't lower the standards, we lower the standards. He says, I never lower the standards. So sister needs a lot of grace to work with 7 children, who are 7 different children. With 2 I know what I face, from the same womb. Okay, 7 different children, a lot of grace. You know why? Because you are not a supervisor. God has called you to mother 7 and bring them up in the knowledge and the instruction of the Lord. And God says, if you are faithful in that, okay, you are just faithful in that to what I have called you. One of my companions that day called, chosen. Hey, now sister has been chosen. Now begins the next set of testing of being faithful. And the same thing runs for each one of us, whichever office you are working in. You need to realize you may be working in SSBC. Gautam, you're in SSBC? Yeah, Gautam is in SSBC. You can meet each other, okay, to SSBC. And wherever you are working, college, school, wherever you are working, you need to realize your commanding officer still is Jesus. It is easy to work well when your manager is peeping up your shoulder. Yes, very busy, very busy, very busy. No? And not. And I like what some of the things with Joyce Meyer says. Did the office pin reach home? Did the office pen reach home? Would your commanding officer approve of it? Little things we need to realize. Little things. Little things. To be faithful in little things is a difficult thing. To be faithful in a big, put in 8 hours of work, we will do. Take not a single pin from the office. What? How does it matter? No, it doesn't matter to the company. Doesn't matter to the company. The company will not say anything. But it does matter to your commanding officer. Not that he will keep you out of heaven, but he will say, you were not faithful in that tiny little thing. In that tiny little thing. I wanted you to be faithful. How many pins did you want? How many pins did you want? I would have given you the resources to buy a carton full of pins. But I wanted to be faithful in leaving that one thing there because it did not belong to you. It did not belong to you. Okay? It did not belong to you. Because He doesn't want to disqualify us. But He's a fair and a righteous God. A righteous God. He's a righteous judge. He's not a judge like our judges, many of them who can be bought or who will wink. No, He says, I'm righteous. I set everything into motion because I'm righteous. I'm a righteous God. Okay? This is not to discourage. This has got nothing to do with not entering heaven. This has got nothing to do with salvation. No, it's got to do much more than that. You're all saved. That's the reason you are here. But if salvation is the only end, then you don't have to be here. It's much more to that. And God is saying, I don't want you to get disqualified. I don't want you to miss out on the great things I have for you all of eternity. And let's see what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12. What does he say? I thank God. Somebody can read it loud.
I thank God, Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful.
He considered me?
Faithful.
He gave me strength for what? So that I may be faithful. I thank God, because He did not ask me to be faithful without giving me the strength. I thank God for what? For the strength. I thank Christ Jesus who gave me the strength that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. Thank God, he says, I was found faithful. I was found faithful. Okay? And Paul was found faithful all the way. He was found faithful. Till the end he was found faithful. He was found faithful. He was zealous for God through it all. And there was a point in the book of Galatians when Paul is the junior apostle and the senior most apostle Peter is there, and the one who introduced junior apostle to senior apostle Barnabas is there, and the big man of the church, James, the brother of Jesus, from whom few people have come, but they all have gone wrong. All have gone wrong. But this man is so zealous for God, he doesn't hide it under the carpet. He publicly rebukes Peter. But he's telling in other words, you know, Peter, his name is at stake. It's not your name or my name. We were believers, we were disciples, we are Christians today. We don't have any other name, we just have the name of Christ. And his name is at stake. And you don't play with that name. And Peter listened to him. Peter listened to him. And he humbled himself. Okay? He humbled himself. That's what God is talking about. That's what God is talking about. And you will see that. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Is there any problem with the back? Yeah. What happened? Okay, we'll get you. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Okay, you look at here, you know how many hundreds, probably thousands of people Paul discipled? Everywhere, Europe was opened up, Asia Minor was opened up by that man. But what is he saying? I'm hoping to send you to you, Timothy, because I have no one else like him. He says, when it comes to being faithful, he says, there are very few. I know one man, one of my disciples, Timothy is there. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not of Jesus Christ. But you know, Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. And therefore, I am sending him to you. So receive him as if you are receiving me. You know? Paul is looking for somebody to whom the mantle can be passed, who will be faithful. And the fact is that Timothy took over from Paul. Okay. You need to realize God is also looking for people to whom he can commit himself. In John chapter 2 it is written, Jesus did not commit himself to any man because he knew the hearts of man. But God still wants to commit himself into the hands of man. He still today wants to commit himself into the hands of man, and is asking, will you be found faithful in my house so that I can commit myself into your hands. That is why God was offended with Moses. Because God had committed himself into the hands of Moses. He just committed himself in the hands of Moses. So when Moses struck that rock, you know what God said? You did not honor me. The people never realized it at all. You need to realize when Moses struck the rock and water came, the people had absolutely no idea what went wrong between God and Moses. As far as they were concerned, wow, God has approved him again. Again water has come out. But something was transpired here between the two of them. Okay. Meaning, people may never know. Absolutely nothing now. But God's saying, you know what? I committed something into your hands. and you were not found faithful, Moses. Why did you strike the rock? What did I tell you? I told you to speak. No. We will see what difference does it make. No? God told, speak. God, Moses, hit. And most pastors, preachers today would hit because that is more spectacular. Imagine having a nice wand and bang, hit it, everybody will see and the water will come out of the rock. Looks really spectacular. But God says, no spectacle, just stand there and speak. Now, speaking is not as spectacular as striking. But the problem is not that. The problem is, the rock had been struck years earlier for water. The rock had been smitten the first time in the desert when they did not have water and the water had come out. The second time God said, speak to the rock. Why? The revelation Paul gives, the rock that accompanied you in the wilderness was Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is smitten for your sins only once. He cannot be smitten twice. Therefore, Moses, you did not honor my son. When you smote him a second time, you are crucifying my son all over again. Then you know the magnitude of what he did. We crucify Jesus once for our sins. After that, you come and speak, Lord, I need mercy. You only speak and receive your forgiveness. You receive. Once and for all, he was crucified for our sins. We don't crucify him over and over again. We come and only speak and receive our mercy freely. Now this, it may look like a little test. For the people, they may not have figured at all what has happened. But it may, some of the things may look very little. Very, very little. But it was very big. I remember the email Anisha forwarded with me. It is a beautiful email. It stopped me in my tracks. A pastor was traveling in a bus in the US. And there, if you know the buses, you enter through the front door, you give the money to the driver, you get a change and your ticket. He goes and sits. And when he goes and sits and he counts his change, one quarter, 25 cents extra the driver has given. 25 paise, would we be bothered? The pastor is sitting there and thinking, it's a new pastor starting a new church and he's sitting, 25. How does it matter? Doesn't matter to him, doesn't matter to the company, the change would make no difference. All the while till he's reaching the stop, but the 25 paise is at the heart of his mind, he's not able to overcome that. So finally, as he's getting off, he gives the 25 paise to the driver and said, you gave me 25 cents extra. And the driver looks at him and says, aren't you the new pastor in town? I'm coming to your church this Sunday. You know why? He gave him the 25 cents deliberately. And after the bus moved off, that man holds on to that lamp post that was there and says, no, thank you. I almost sold you for 25 cents. We sometimes even don't even realize those little things, because that man would have gone and said, don't go to his church. If he's not faithful in 25 cents, why go to his church? He wouldn't put it as 25 cents. He says he takes money from the company and never returns. And we don't realize those little things. God is allowing to say that, look, I don't want to disqualify you. I want to promote you. These are little tests you will go through. From a loving father who wants you to be faithful in his house. And that's what Paul is talking about. So many called, so many chosen, so many disciples. But I really want to entrust something important. I need to look for Timothy. I need to look for Timothy. Because I could pass it on to him because he was approved. And that's the whole thing. We want to stand one day before God and hear from God, approved. Faithful. To be part of the royal companions. To be part of my son's companion. To be part of the overcomer. You've been found faithful in my father's house. You've been found faithful. And I'm telling you, the test will not be in the big things. Thou shalt not kill. Nobody here will kill. Though last week I was talking with a man who had killed 6 or 7 people. Was in prison for so many years and then God had to rescue him. Literally came to the faith and rescued him from the prison. He beat a guy to death. He shot 3 people dead. And he was sitting there, old man, sleeping on the side of a road now, nowhere placed. The church is taking care of him. He's got a small tarpaulin, see where he sits. And he was telling about, and still trying to justify why he killed. Okay, so there's no justification for that. Okay, what I'm saying that we won't break the big ones. God is talking about the small little ones. Are you faithful in your house? Are you faithful in your workplace? Are you able to do those little things, important little things, which are our responsibilities, without grumbling, without complaining, giving Him praise and thanksgiving? We may do, but we may grumble. We may grumble. Nowhere in the four Gospels is it written, Jesus grumbled. Jesus complained. It's not written anywhere there. No. Yet He went through test after test at all points. But He did cheerfully, gladly, even on the cross. He did not think about Himself. He was still thinking about glorifying His Father. That's what God is talking about. Will you be found faithful? And that's what Paul is talking there about. Will you be found faithful? In Psalm 105, verse 37, God's testimony about the children of Israel. Verse 37, He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. What does your other translation say? The KJV will put it a little more better.
He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes.
There was not a single sick, feeble person among the people God brought out of Egypt for 40 years. They were rich. They never lacked in the desert. They were never sick. For 40 years, every one of them. Yes, you want to hear the other side of God's testimony about them in Hebrews 3:17? What does it say? Again, the 40 years is used there. Yes, it says, sir. You found it?
But with whom was he grieved 40 years?
With whom was he grieved 40 years?
Was
with whom?
Them,
yeah.
With
other translations will say, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Both are there. Grieved or angry for 40 years. For 40 years, no lack. Silver, gold, water, manna, no sickness, everything. Yes, for 40 years he was grieved with them. For 40 years he was angry with them. Do you know why? But they were not faithful. Testimony. They were to stand and give a testimony. We will all back off and say, sorry brother, we don't have any testimony to say. Your testimony sounds great. We don't have. What testimony do we have? One child of Israel stands here and says about that from Egypt, how he came out. When he comes to Red Sea, we will all shut up. We got no testimonies left. And then he talks about that 40 years. He got absolutely no testimony left. Yet, scripture writes, he was angry with them for 40 years. Or he was grieved by them for 40 years. You know why? Because they were not faithful. Were they called? Yes. Were they chosen? Yes. Were they faithful? No. They were not faithful. And we are. God is preparing a set of people who will be faithful in every area of life. We have fallen. We might have fallen here. We have been fallen. Don't lie there. Go back to God, put it right with Him, under the blood, and say, Lord, help me to be faithful in this area where I have repeatedly fallen. And I believe your word, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. I want even more grace in that area, God. Where I have struggled, there I am going to be an overcomer. I am going to be an overcomer. Okay, like I told you, He's not a teacher who just sets an examination paper. He pours grace into our lives, so that we overcome. Amen. And we look in the coming weeks, we will look at overcomers and the tests that they went through and we will go through. Tests are not different. Pattern of the testing is the same. It will be different in different ways in our life, but the pattern will be the same, because He will test us. Unless you have decided, this is as far as I go, I don't want to go any further, God. Now, there were people in Kerala when I used to be studying, the bus would be completely empty. Yet they like traveling on the footboard. There are many who have told me, I just want to make it to heaven even hanging on the footboard. I don't want to sit in the front seat or anywhere. Just make it somehow or other. And scripture talks, a great many will reach that way. Just skimming through the flames, they will get burned, singed hair, you will smell it. You just make it over there. God says, that's fine. If that's what you want, that's it. You get. But God says, that also will be eternity. Not for 10 years, 20 years, or 50 years. All of eternity, you will be that in heaven. Amen? We'll pray. Father, I thank you. I praise you for your children here, O God. Because, Father, we are all children. Not because of anything that we did, but because of your love and your mercy. Not because we sought you, but because you sought us. As it's written, O God, you send servants, you send prophets, you send apostles, you send all those servants. But, Father, you were not satisfied. You sent your own Son to look for us, O God. And he came and he paid the price so that we could become your children. And then you sent your Holy Spirit who sought us out, O Master. And Father, we thank you for your Son and for your Holy Spirit. Because it's because of you, O Lord, we are here. We were sought and we were called and we were received into your bosom, O Master. But today, even as we are here called and maybe chosen, Father, we all know, Lord, we fail in that area of being faithful in all things, O God. But your call to us is be faithful in all things, because the end of all things is near. That's your word, O God. And today, even as we have gathered here, like the apostles, and all of them did for hundreds and hundreds of years, O Lord, in little houses where your church is gathered, we also have gathered here, O God. And we are not saying, Lord, we are any different, that we need more mercy. We need more grace so that we may be found faithful in your house, O God. Each one of us, in our workplaces, in our homes, wherever you take us, Father, help us to be faithful. Let us be counted faithful and be counted among those overcomers, O Master. And Father, we acknowledge freely we cannot do it on our own. We need your grace. We need your grace, O God. Father, I pray you will teach each one of us to enter into your throne of grace as many times as possible every day and seek that mercy and that grace that is more than sufficient for us every day, O Master. I commit each brother, each sister, each child, each family that is represented here. Bring them under the covering of the precious blood of Jesus, O God. As they go into a new week, Father, I pray your presence and your power will go with them and your grace will empower them to stand there as a Christian, O Master. Be with the children, O God, as they're spending their last week of vacation. Father, let them enjoy their last week of vacation, O God, and prepare them for a new academic year, Master. Thank you, Father. We commit the sister, Lord, Ekta, who is traveling to Gujarat. May your presence go with her to her family, O God. And I pray, Father, you will give her the wisdom and the power, O God, to speak only when you tell her to speak, and to remain silent when you tell her to remain silent. And through it all, O God, you will touch her family through her, O Master. That even without a word being spoken, O God, they will see the manifest power of the resurrected Lord in her life, O Master. Take her safely and bring her back with even more wonderful testimonies, O God. Thank you, Father. All the other brethren, O God, we commit them into thy hands. Those who are weak, those who are facing sickness, those who are facing situations in their workplaces. We speak to that mountain to be removed in Jesus' name. And we confess, O God, that you are the God who will fight our battles, not us, O God. That the God who made man dumb or blind also is the God who will deliver and heal, O Master. Because you are our healer, O Master. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we praise you. We worship you, God. We give you all the glory and the honor and the power. It belongs to you and to you alone, O Lord. Thank you, Father. For in the precious, most precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Bhutan, you say, Jai Masih. I want you to put down one of those papers, or write in this, that's better. Oh. I will tell when the time comes. No, offerings, tithes, whatever. When the time comes, I'll tell. Maybe because I need to teach you on God's rules on giving. Not about giving, but when you can give. You need to realize there are rules which God says about when you can give and how you would like. There are different ways you can do it. It's always good to do it God's way. Okay. So we will look at it when the time comes. Maybe next Sunday, maybe Sunday after that. Yeah, take it.
How did that happen?
Take it. Just write your names, family. Just check in the kitchen. So Ekta is living on Wednesday. Tuesday, Rajkot Express. I know, it's 1:30. Please take it seriously when we say we will pray for one another. Write down the names of those who especially need prayer. Some of them go through tests which we don't go through. The situations are different, testings are different, and they need more prayer, encouragement. You have bathrooms on your right and to your left. Restrooms if you need to go. Just get it. Maria, you flicker on the table also. Maria has been eyeing my furniture from the time she came. Okay, better. Same glass, nikal do. Bahut meetha hai.
Aap dekhte
hain. Bahut thanda bhi nahi hai na.
Nahi.
Sirf thanda hi lagaya ya do mix kiya.
Dono hai.
ठीक है थोड़ा ज़्यादा होना दे दो क्योंकि बच्चे हैं कप और कप इधर भी है यानिश यूनियन सिस्टर Okay, children, you can sit here itself and you will get your snacks here, okay? And your drinks here. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, please go ahead. Left is the Western one, right is the Indian one, yeah, wherever you see it. How much was the coffee in Germany? 500 rupees?
Yeah, this coffee.
Only 120 bucks. A cup of coffee. That's not good. I think even in our 5-star hotels it comes to almost. Airport is not.
First is you have to pay several
bucks
to go to the
first time. This is our time. Just counting the heads. बेटे 18 है इधर हाँ तो जो हो गया वो हो गया Better you keep that there and you start pouring.
Yeah.
Okay. You can pass this on. Yeah. Yours will come.
Yeah.
You can also go help. There are bigger trays. Yeah. There's a middle tray also with It's coming. Cold or Athara hai adults or
बच्चे
8 या 9 है सब मिलाकर 30 कर दो Yeah, it's soft. It's cold. It's soft. Just lime.
You won't be riding back home once. Your vodka. You didn't have any wine. I can't say any more now. I mean, this is
ridiculous. I give it my soul.